forgot to remind us during our announcement time that this Saturday will be the day that the people of God will gather in his house and take down these beautiful decorations that we've enjoyed through the Advent and Christmas season. As I mentioned before, you're not too old that you won't be able to help. There's something for even the most feeble can do. And you're not too young to be of help either. So y'all come and fellowship next Saturday at 9 o'clock as we reconfigure the sanctuary, God's house. Well, this is Epiphany Sunday. And Epiphany means the manifestation of Christ in the world. But the question is, how will Christ be manifested in the world? How will people see God? And do we have any responsibility in that? We, the people of God, with the kingdom of God in us? Some answers to that question are written in Revelation chapter 1, reading verses 4 to 8. To the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace be to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of earth. To him who loves and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made to us a kingdom and priests, and who has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Look, he's coming. He's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. Well, who's coming? Where's he coming from? Who will see him? Well, we're in church, so we must be talking about Jesus. So that is who is coming, Jesus. And that may be the easiest part of the questions. Where is he coming from? I would submit that he's coming from the place right under our nose, a place not too far away, a place not at all of us expect him to be, but nevertheless, a place close at hand. Surely you've heard the expression, you can't see the forest for the trees. Well, I would submit to you that Jesus is the one who is coming, and he is coming from a place right next to you. It wouldn't be the first time. Two disciples, while on the road to Emmaus, were surprised at the unexpected appearance of someone walking with them. Out of nowhere, it seemed, this man was walking with them and began asking them questions, and not until they stopped for the night and sat together for a meal did they realize that Christ was there with them all along. Walking down the road on a day of particular sadness and full of distress, and a day that they thought was the end, could it be that Jesus is walking with you and that you don't realize it? Don't take full advantage of it? Don't see him for his grace? What I want to spend a little time this morning is the question, who will see him? The Bible tells us that every eye will see him, and I believe that. Some, well, probably most, believe that the book of Revelations is a book that holds the secret of Christ's coming. That there are predictors and pointers that will take place just before his arrival and reign on earth as it is in heaven. Well, I don't interpret this book that way.
Because Jesus said that no one knows, or no one is going to know, when he will come again. Not the angels, not even himself as he was in human form. Not anyone will know. It will be as a thief in the night. And so what is this book about? It's about the entire Bible, the same thing that the entire Bible is about, the revelation of God. And that's what the Bible does from beginning to end. It shows us how God has tried to reveal himself to us throughout history. And oh, by the way, it is his story. When I started my business, my mentor told me to be careful not to play office. That most people who fail in the business that we were in fail because they simply play office. They don't do the basics that need to be done to generate business or cultivate it. They don't like to get on the telephone and introduce non-clients to the service that we provide. They don't empower their current and happy clients with the knowledge of the benefits of being a part of our company so that they can go out there and share those same words with others to get them to come and participate as well. They don't encourage the good clients to talk to their friends about coming to the seminar so that the value and benefits of what they've been enjoying can be offered to their friends. The novice businessman that fails usually does so because he or she is just playing office. Was the church like that today? Is the church like those failing business people, just playing church? In the first four chapters of Revelation, we find letters written to seven churches in Asia. Each church is awakened with its own letter, addressing its own situation with its own strengths, successes, and problems. To the church of Laodicea, though, no strengths are listed. I know by your deeds that you are neither cold nor hot. I would rather that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Revelation 3:15-17. Well, by saying, I know your deeds, Jesus is saying, I have a comprehensive and intimate knowledge of exactly where you are as a church or as an individual. On the outside, this church at Laodicea looked eminently successful. Giving was up. Attendance was up. Activities were up. But Jesus saw with X-ray vision into the heart and soul of this church. With divine omniscience, he got a completely different read on it. What he saw was a church lukewarm. Lukewarm means being half cold, half hot. And such a person is half-hearted toward Christ. A fence straddler, not wanting to commit one way or the other. Someone who has enough religion to get him to church, and yet not enough grace to change his or her life. Who is this lukewarm person? Is this person saved or lost? What is their spiritual condition? Some believers in the church at Laodicea had once been on fire for God. These people were genuinely saved. Once burning for Christ, they now, though, had cooled off and adapted to the environment around them. They were now room temperature. Some had cooled off because of the world's influence. They had been successful enough to be able to afford all the good things in life, and that meant, of course, enjoying them even on Sunday. They had cooled off in their love for Jesus Christ. Some had cooled off because they had been there, done that. It's time for someone else to pick up their cross and do the work of the Lord. I've paid my dues. Although truly converted to Christ, they had become lukewarm because they thought that they only had to serve the Lord when they were young. Still others in that church in Asia had never been born again. They professed to know Christ, but their hearts were unconverted. Well, they joined the church. They joined the church, but they'd never really joined Christ. When in church, they warmed up to the glow and excitement of the true believers, but they were never on fire with a personal relationship with the Savior.
See, revelation is God revealing himself to us. But it's also, as is true of the rest of the Bible, revealing ourselves to us. The church of the 21st century is not far different from the church at Laodicea. I believe that the church's first mission today is inside the congregation, because many say, "Lord, Lord," and they are on the broad road. We need to show them the way back to church. We need to a revival in ourselves, so that we can help revive the others who are on the membership books in the church but have not been here in church for some time. We must take responsibility for bringing them back. And then we can go out into the world, into the rest of the community, into our neighborhoods, into our schools, our workplaces, and share God's love with others. So who will see? Every eye will see, and we are held accountable to reflect the glory of the one who is coming. We are held accountable to reflect the glory of the one who is coming. The kingdom of God is within us, each one of us. And we must open ourselves up so that others may see his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We've all heard the story of the emperor who wore no clothes. He paid large sums of money to two clothiers to make the finest clothes that money could buy. But playing a game of deception, they put nothing on him, but told him that he was wearing the finest robe in the kingdom. Now the vain king believed their lie and proudly walked around his castle naked, pretending to be well dressed. Everyone was too fearful to tell the king the truth, though, until one little boy stated what everyone else knew but were afraid to say. He blurted out, "The emperor has no clothes on." Spiritually speaking, that's how believers in Laodicea came to church. They came to church naked, undressed in their birthday suits, but thinking that they were well dressed and smartly attired. They paraded into church wearing their fashionable clothes and dropped large sums of money into the offering plate, all the while thinking that they were spiritually adorned with garments of righteousness. Yet Jesus said, "You think you're well attired, but you're naked." It's amazing that we can be so deceived. It's when we think that we've got our act together spiritually that we've really lost it. Whenever we think we have no need is when our need is the greatest. Our greatest need is to see our need. Without a proper self-knowledge, then we have no hunger for God. Could this be you? Honestly, before God, where are you? Are you lukewarm? Are you hot? Are you cold? Are you indifferent toward the things of God? Where are you? Are you lukewarm about the Scriptures? Is there still a burning hunger for God's Word that is growing and spreading? Is your heart set on fire by the Scriptures, or do you read the Bible in a mechanical, academic, routine way? Do you read the Word and remain flat, detached, sterile? Do you even read it at all? Do you bring your Bible to church and to Sunday school so you can take notes in it when somebody says something that you didn't understand before? Or do you use the ones in the pew or in the cupboard? Are you lukewarm about your Scriptures? Are you lukewarm about prayer? Is there burning, passionate zeal in your heart to be in the presence of God? Is there an anticipation to be alone with the Lord in prayer? Is there a life-changing dynamic about your prayer life? Or are your prayers just rote and routine and mundane? When you get on your knees, is the thrill gone? Do you even pray at all?
Are you lukewarm about witnessing? Are you excited about sharing your faith in Jesus Christ? Are you gladly looking for opportunities to witness for Him? Do you feel that you can't hold yourself back except to talk about Christ? Or are you just lukewarm and inconspicuously blending in with the environment around you? Would you just as soon not get involved in someone else's life? Are you no longer burdened for the lost, the hurting, the naked? Do you even care that lost people don't know Jesus and His love? Are you lukewarm about serving Christ? Is there a spiritual heartbeat in your life to give yourself away to others? Do you still feel an excitement about serving God that energizes you? Or are you just cranking out your service because you have to? Or because there's no one else who'll do it? Has your ministry lost its passion? Have you become indifferent and callous in serving others, in serving your church? What's the temperature of your heart? You may be lukewarm because you've never truly come to have a personal relationship with Jesus. If so, you're indifferent because you have never had open heart surgery. You need to ask God to take away your old cold heart and give you a new flaming heart for Him. Maybe you come to church and your spiritual pulse warms up a bit and when you hear the choir sing or the scriptures preached. But the truth is that you've never come all the way to having a personal relationship with Christ. Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and will dine with him and he with me." Open the door. Look, He's coming in the clouds and every eye will see Him. I believe that we are the key to the kingdom of God, each one of us. I believe that we are the key to the kingdom of God because the kingdom of God is within us. Every eye will see Him through us. When we get on fire about reading the scriptures and about praying and about serving Christ, we will be in communion with God and others will see Him and want to know Him also. And then as revealed to us in Revelation, we will have been made to be a kingdom of priests to serve God. To Him be the glory and power forever and ever.